We have a number of questions that have come in from the audience, and so in the interest of time, we'll try to move through as many of those as we can. The first one I think we'll put to Jeff here is a question that says, what would you recommend for couples or partners with significantly different risk preferences?
This always is interesting, and they must remember that no risk preference is good or bad. One is not better than the other. It's the understanding that needs to happen. They really need to sit down and talk about those risk preferences. You know, honey, why are you insistent upon this approach? Maybe it's the husband is really risk averse, and the wife is more risk preferring. And the wife can say, you know, husband, you're not, we're missing out on some opportunities here. What are ways that we can make you more comfortable with a more risky venture and still feel some of that safety? It's the discussion that goes on. They really need to have good conversations about that, open and honest. And sometimes couples and families need to bring in an outside facilitator. I don't want to use the term mediator because it's probably not in a crisis. Sometimes it is. But it's the discussion and try to understand each other's preferences and comfort levels with moving across that spectrum of risk.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Next one I think is for Jay. Question asks, when it comes to the trade-off between risk and the potential profit, is there some sort of a standard way of measuring that so you know if the trade-off is one trade-off is better or worse in one case versus another?
Well, there is, but I want to first of all caution our listeners that it involves the evil word statistics, and then emphasize the fact that ultimately that trade-off is a personal decision. So anything I could tell you or anybody else could tell you about a statistical measure for that, you need to handle with caution, extreme caution, and make sure that you make it a personal decision on the trade-off. And the one that comes to mind that's most often used there is called a coefficient of variation, and it has to do with how you measure risk. A standard measure of risk is to use a standard deviation, and then a standard measure of the reward part of the equation there would be to use the average. So in an ideal world, your distribution of outcomes is what we call a normal distribution, which has kind of a bell-shaped curve to it with the average being in the middle, and the standard deviation then would measure one direction or the other, plus or minus, would capture about two-thirds of the outcomes. And so the coefficient of variation as a statistical measure would take the standard deviation and divide it by the mean or the average, and basically would give you a ratio of the risk to the reward. And so some people use that. And so, for example, let's say your average outcome was a 30 and your standard deviation was a 5. You would take 5 divided by 30, and let's just say these are dollars per acre and net return or something like that. You'd say that your coefficient of variation would be like a 0.17 or 17% roughly. And you would compare that to another enterprise or another crop that you could raise that would have a standard or an average outcome of $50 an acre with a standard deviation of 10, and 10 divided by 5 would be 0.2. And you would say that second one actually involves more risk than the first one. And so a safer bet might be to go with the first one if you value that stability or that lower ratio of risk to reward. But again, I use caution, tell you to use caution, because I bet that if we put that out as a poll to our listeners, a significant number of you would pick the $50 return with a $10 standard deviation around it and say that looks good to me. So it is a personal preference on how much risk you're willing to accept in your current situation. So anyway, hopefully that addresses that question for our audience.
All right. Thank you, Jay. I think the next one is something that Jeff touched on. A question from our audience was, what is the futures market? Could you explain that a little further?
The futures market is actually the Chicago Board of Trade, Chicago Mercantile Exchange. It is where you go to a local broker. You can do it online. They have brokers there, and you buy a product, if you will, a document that says you will sell so many pounds. They're all in hundredweights, pounds, bushels, so many bushels. Let's say it's a 5,000 bushel contract of corn. It is a contract for you to deliver to someone, the board, if you will, Chicago Board of Trade, 5,000 bushels, and the value is at $8. That's a guarantee. So someone on the other end is buying that contract from you because they need 5,000 bushels, or they're speculating that the price of corn is going to go up, so they're willing to pay you $8 now because in the future they might have to pay $10 for corn. Conversely, you can, excuse me, if you need certain inputs for your business, you might go out and buy a futures contract on that for oil or something like that so that you can actually lock in a price. You know, you fix the price so that the risk is now somewhere else in terms of buying and selling. You still have the risk that the price goes up or down, but you have that price guaranteed. I don't know if that, hopefully that was helpful.
Okay, well thank you, Jeff. I think that probably provides a little bit more insight on that question. Another one that Jay hit upon and maybe gets kind of to the heart of some of this risk management stuff, questioner asks, human risk and institutional risk are two sources of risk that really seem like they're tough to manage and maybe a bit obscure. Do you have any suggestions for how to get a handle on those?
Yeah, the first one is to keep yourself informed, and along with that, make sure that communication is a part of what you do, both from a standpoint of putting time into it and then also emphasis as far as your management goes. Certainly on the institutional side, when we talk about policies being formulated or tastes and preferences of society out there, things that we need to keep ourselves up to date on, staying informed there is a really key component of that. And also staying involved, the communication aspect of with any kind of local producer organizations that help you have a voice in some of those policies as they are determined. And then within your operation on the human side, you know, we often overlook, especially in smaller operations, the need to communicate effectively. And, you know, very few people take the time to, for example, write up a job description for folks in an agriculture operation. But it's amazing how much that can clear up some miscommunication as far as your expectations of them on the job and their understanding of that. So anytime that you have an opportunity then to basically communicate better with the people in your operation, not just verbally but also in writing and other things that can clear up any of those misunderstandings, it's a good way to manage those risks and to be proactive in your approach to them.
Okay, I think we have time for just one more question. I'll put that to you, Jeff. Question here is, are there other resources that you have available or could point people to for help with record keeping and or financial statements?
There's a number of resources available out there. Of course, Right Risk has a course titled Getting on Track, Better Management Through Basic Financial Statements, Financial Analysis, Record Keeping. These are really pretty good places to start. I would suggest to everyone that they talk to their tax preparer if they have one. We can also talk about that in future webinars and seminars that we conduct at various places. But I think the, and maybe I'm biased here, that set of courses is really helpful to get started. Once you get beyond the basics of that in terms of financial records, there's your accountant can help you. Bankers will probably have some recommendations for what's best for your operation and to help you make some of your management decisions.
Okay, Jeff, thank you for that. I guess we have one last question. I think we have just a minute to get that in. I'll put this to Jay. Questioner asks, is it mandatory to have insurance for a crop with a lot of different weather issues?
Well, no, not necessarily. So, you know, most people, the insurance decision does come up to you. Of course, there are some rules to worry about in terms of qualifying for different disaster programs. So you want to keep yourself informed on those for your area and the crop that you're working for or working with. But in general, that you know, to answer the question in a general sense, it's up to you whether or not you want to insure that crop given the risks that are posed to it, whether it be weather or otherwise.
Right. Okay. Well, I think we better move on in the interest of time. Thank you both Jay and Jeff for your excellent presentations and insights on risk management and managing risk for farms and ranches. I'd just like to remind the audience that we'd like to hear from you. If you have other topics or presentations that you'd like to see us offer in the future, you certainly can send us an entry via the chat pod there on the left on your screen, or if you'd like to send an email, you certainly may do that. The address to send it to would be information@rightrisk, that's righterisk.org. And as we've mentioned throughout the presentation and mentioned as we began, the recordings for this presentation, this webinar, and other information are certainly available at the Right Risk website. Again, that's rightrisk.org, as you can see on your screen. We'll provide some additional instructions on how to access many of those resources via a file that we'll share with you here in just a second. But if you're interested, we will also be posting a set of the presentation slides that the presenters use today, as well as audio recording and video recording of this webinar at the Right Risk website. And so finally, I'll just move to that file that I mentioned we'd share with you. We have talked about a number of different URLs and resources throughout the webinar. So in order to provide you with just a single reference for all that information, we've compiled a list in this attached PDF file, which you may download by clicking on the file name and then selecting the choice to share to your or download to your own computer. I want to close now by saying again and extending our thanks to today's presenters and their first-class presentation on managing risk on your farm, the 6 steps to effective risk management. Thanks also to our Right Risk team and their sponsoring institutions for making this series possible. We'd also like to thank all the participants in today's webinar conference. We sincerely hope that you find the content of today's presentation of value in your work. We hope to see you again in one of our upcoming webinars. Until then, we offer you our sincerest hope for success in managing risk in whatever your situation may be. And now for the Right Risk team, I'd like to thank you again for participating, and I'm John Hewlett.